Hey, everybody. Andrew Zarian here. I'm joined by two really good friends of mine. They're doing this amazing event. I don't know if you've heard of this company called Capital Wrestling. We've only been talking about it for 3 years now here on Matt Penn. Capital Wrestling has an amazing show happening this Sunday in Nashville. Capital Wrestling is leaving the Northeast, heading down to Nashville for an amazing, amazing cause. They're doing this with Wrestling for Innocence. I'm going to let Harry and Stephanie get into the details of this event because I think it's great. I want to first introduce Stephanie Satilli. Stephanie, what do you do for Capital Wrestling? I mean, I know you do everything, but what is the exact thing that you do?
Well, besides talent, I am Portia Vaughn, the hashtag Femivist. I am also, and the title is pending, but I would say head of logistics and special projects.
Ah, perfect. And how about you, Harry? What do you do? What do you do?
Well, in addition to owning a portion of the company,
connection to me.
Involved in some of the creative aspects.
If your connection is bad, Harry, maybe go to data. Like, take it off of Wi-Fi if it is.
Wi-Fi.
Harry keeps dying.
I'm not on Wi-Fi. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can.
All right, it's weird. When I put my ear to the phone, if this sounds good like this, I'll do it like this.
This is perfectly fine. Yeah, perfectly fine. So I'll introduce you again. So, Harry, tell me a little bit of what you do for Capital Wrestling.
I'm involved, in addition to owning a portion of the company, I'm on camera doing the color commentary. And I also do some of the production stuff and contribute in the creative side of it. And much like Stephanie, just anything else that needs to get done, I hop on in. So,
which I think that's a great thing about Capital Wrestling is that everybody's kind of involved in every aspect of it, and everybody, you know, lends a hand. I love the structure of how things work with you guys, and obviously the content that you guys are producing. I can't think of another independent, and I'm using quotes here for people listening, independent wrestling company that produces a episodic weekly television show. It's a rarity, especially with the inaccessibility to the actual wrestlers every week. You guys are able to maintain this with regulars, you know, through and through in the company, which is amazing. So I want to talk about this event happening. This is a humongous event. You guys are putting on a show in Nashville. Guys, if you are in the Nashville area, if you live there or you're traveling there, this is a great venue. Everybody that I have spoken to, that I brought up, the Marathon Music Works venue, says it's an awesome venue. It's a great place. It's in a busy area, so there's a lot to do. It's 1402 Clinton Street in Nashville, Tennessee. If you go to marathonmusicworks.com, you can get your tickets there. So three big names, obviously, on this: Scott Hall, Kevin Ash, and Jake Hager, going to be at the event doing a meet and greet. The doors open at 3:30. Show starts at 4:30. Tickets starting at $25, which is amazing. So, how did you, Stephanie? Because I know you put this event together. Tell me a little bit about how you put everything together.
Sure. In a sense. So to shorten this story, about 3 years ago, I got involved with the Jeffrey Deskovic Foundation. Jeffrey Deskovic is an exoneree, which means he was in prison for 16 years for a crime he didn't commit. And when he got out, when he was found innocent and exonerated, he created a foundation to help others in the same, you know, in the same problem. So through him, I met Anthony DiPippo, who he was released 2 years ago. He was found innocent and exonerated. He spent 20 years in prison for something he didn't do. His co-defendant, Andy Krivak, is still fighting for his innocence currently. And I remember the very first conversation I had with Anthony, wrestling was mentioned. And he mentioned Kevin Owens. So I was like, oh, okay, this guy kind of knows what he's a fan, he knows, he's watched it. And I think I mentioned at some point, I work with, you know, Capital, and I introduced him to Matt. They had gone to see a few other indie shows and stuff like that. Anthony is a huge, huge fan of wrestling. I mean, every single indie show in New York, he will be there, without a doubt. And one of the first things he ever mentioned to me, and this was over a year and a half ago was he wanted to create this charity and call it Wrestling for Innocence, in which a few times a year put on a wrestling show and pick a specific case of somebody fighting to prove their innocence and have a wrestling show. And on top of that, have it be an opportunity not just to entertain people, but to educate them, not just about any specific case, but about the failings in the criminal justice system in general, and specifically about wrongful convictions and what leads to that.
And to help raise the legal funds too, right?
Yes. Yeah. So for this particular show in Nashville, the reason why it is in Nashville is it's for Adam Brazil. He was convicted in 2007 for a murder that he did not commit. The shocking thing about his case is that he was released in 2015. They had overturned it based on ineffectual assistance of counsel. I guess for those who don't understand, it basically means he said his lawyer did not do a good enough job, didn't represent him well enough, and they kind of agreed with him at the time. And he was released for 10 months. He was a free man for 10 months. And of course, what prosecutors and states always do is they always fight to prove themselves right, and obviously to keep their conviction in line. So they overturned it, and he was sent back to prison.
So something that a lot of people don't know, a lot of this is about wins and losses.
And
you cannot, as you know, as the prosecutor for the state or the federal government, a loss is not something that you really want. Even dropping a case due to, you know, lack of evidence or supporting evidence to the defense, they don't necessarily like to do that because it's a loss in their column.
Yeah, it's a really toxic way that a lot of prosecutors do look at this, because they don't look at it as we're trying to find the actual guilty party. They just look at it as they're trying to win at any means necessary. And that's not every prosecutor. Obviously, it's not every system. But in these wrongful conviction cases, it is pretty, pretty disgusting.
And it's a lot of,
it's
a lot of cases where, you know, this is not just like hearsay. We think he's not, you know, we believe his story. There's a lot of these cases, they find somebody else who, you know, admitted to the murder, DNA evidence is involved that proves that this, you know, that the person didn't do it. And
there's a lot of failings in that part where the prosecutor, it's shown they keep evidence from the defense. They keep evidence from the jury. Sometimes they just refuse to do DNA testing, even though DNA testing can sometimes prove it. In Adam's case in particular, there was almost little to no evidence. The only thing they had was the brother of the person who was murdered, Rebecca Hill. So the person who was murdered was Malcolm Burrows. Rebecca Hill picked Adam out of a photo array.
Yeah, but there's a problem with that.
That's all they had. Oh, of course.
So there's a big problem with that. So I followed the case. You know, when I heard you guys are involved in this, I really wanted to do my homework and kind of educate myself on this. And if you look, the long story short, the story is that they were saying that Adam, allegedly, mm-hmm. this is based on what they put together. Mm-hmm. His car broke down. He asked for help. He went inside of a house. He killed the woman, came back out, and left.
Yeah. So the person who is very much assumed that this was the murder, it's assumed because it was never proven in a court of law, because this person died he committed suicide after killing a police officer. His name was Kermit Bryson in 2008. He looked somewhat similar to Adam in the photo.
He looks very similar. I mean, I'm looking at him. If it was dark, and I mean, and I'm being pressured to point a finger at somebody, I would most likely in that scenario. I mean, I'm not saying me. If I was a victim of something, and I just need to pick something, they look extremely similar.
Yeah, and there was also Rebecca Hill. Because it was her brother that got murdered. You know, as the story goes, this person said his car broke down. Malcolm Burrows went to help him. Malcolm was murdered. And then the person came back to the house and attacked Rebecca Hill in her own house as well. She survived. So she was the one that pointed out Adam. And she had trouble even at first picking out Adam. So she needed even assistance to pick someone from the photo array. So it's very, very, very unreliable. And on top of that, Adam had an alibi. At the same time this was happening, he was far, far away. He was hours away.
He was in the mountains, right?
He was hanging out with friends. And he had all these alibis of people that said it's impossible he was there. He was with us. So again, that's all they had. They had absolutely nothing. They had no DNA except this very unreliable photo array from somebody. That's all they had to convict him. So again, that shows you there were a lot of issues with this case.
So a couple days ago, however, there was another change in this case.
There very much was.
On Friday of last week, I believe, the hearing marked the second time August his conviction 2nd, right. was dismissed. So he was released.
He was. No, and that's amazing news. It's such great news that he gets to be home. He's with his mother. He's with his sister, Christina. Christina Brazil, who's like a dear friend. She's an amazing, bright person. She's like a Care Bear, like in real life. She's amazing. She's been his advocate for many, many years. That's how we know about this case is, you know, I met her through Anthony DePippo. And that's why Anthony chose this case as his first Wrestling for Innocence show. And it's bittersweet, really, because for those who don't know, what Adam took was something called an Alford plea. An Alford plea, it's not really saying you're innocent. It's really the core. It's really you saying you don't want to admit guilt, but you technically acknowledge that there was enough evidence to convict you. And honestly, what that's saying is the state going, hey, you know, we can send you home right now, but you kind of have to say on record that you're guilty. We know you're not, but on record, you have to say it. Yeah. So
it's very similar for people who don't, if they followed the West Memphis 3, that's the same type of plea that they took.
Absolutely. Yep. So even though it's kind of saying, look, we kind of know you're innocent. There's not enough here. We don't want to record it. The prosecutors don't want to record it as a loss. So take this plea and you can go home right now. And like I said, it's bittersweet. It's always wonderful when someone gets to go home and be with their family. But he's still, you know, it's on his record, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's that's why it's bittersweet. It's also horrible that the Alford plea is even something that exists. Like, I don't even know why this is a thing that we allow to happen.
I would love to go more into this thing. I find this very fascinating on how many people get convicted of a crime like this. And this is a heinous crime. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, low status offenses and things like that. That's terrible for the extended time that they're getting. But imagine you are away with your friends and next thing you find out, you come home, you are the person of interest in a heinous murder.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be wild.
And he had no connection to this family whatsoever. He did not know them. Knew no one in the case. He was an absolute stranger to them.
Yeah, but I believe that and correct me if I'm wrong, they had the local police didn't really like him.
As far as I know, I think it was just it's a small town, you know, it's a small southern town. So when they're investigating and the police are asking around, I think people just kind of said, "Oh, that kind of looks like Adam," or the car he was driving, it was his mother's car, and the car that was found, they kind of look similar, you know? So it's a My Cousin Vinny defense. The car kind of looks similar, and the guy kind of looks similar, and that was enough to convict him. You know, it's really, really similar to that movie. But that's, I mean, honestly, that's what happened here. Like I said, there was no DNA, and he had several alibis saying he was hours away.
Will Adam be at the event?
He absolutely will.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, I spoke to him. He's and he also is always positive. I mean, it's really amazing. I've spoken to so many of these exonerees, both, you know, when they're still in prison and when they're not. And it's really surprising to me. A lot of them have a really positive attitude. A lot of them are still really hopeful. And it's so much more than we can say for just us living like our normal lives and we get bogged down with so many things. And you talk to some of these people and they're still super hopeful and positive. It's really like inspirational to talk to them.
And you know, to add to that, what's really been cool about this is Anthony's a huge wrestling fan, so he wanted to put this together, and he got some of his wish list people included, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and also Jake Hager, who he met at some autograph signings. But they're going to be there. And what's really cool, though, is how invested these guys have kind of become, because they met Anthony, and also just Kevin Nash in particular, you know, mm-hmm. a real smart guy. I think it's underrated how intelligent that dude is.
He's really smart. He's
really smart, dude.
Listen, yeah. It says a lot. You know, he was very successful in the business. You kind of have to be really smart to be able to be as successful as he is.
Yeah. He was following the case. He even messaged me before I had a chance to tell him, "Hey, I just saw Adam got free. That's amazing." Like, he already knew. Yeah. Like, he was already keeping up to date with it.
And he was really invested in this whole process of like, yeah, let's do this. And he's been tweeting and doing social media, like, let's help Adam out. And, you know, that's kind of nice. So it's not just us, you know, renting a wrestler, so to speak, you know, it's somebody who cares about it. And we're hoping that this leads to other bigger events just more, not so much bigger, where we can do this across the country for different people. Adam is very lucky that it worked out. You know,
and the timing. I mean, it's amazing that the timing is exactly. I mean, right when you guys are putting this event on for Wrestling for Innocence. I think it's a great story, to kind of bring this to people's attention, saying, listen, this happens a lot more than you would imagine. Something like this happens, and you know, with the timing of Adam's release and this event being put together, I think it's going to be great and going to inform a lot of people, obviously, of everything that's going on.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's something that it's nice to, you know, I love the wrestling business and I love being able to do a show every week with Capital Wrestling. But it's nice to be able to combine that with a really good cause and, you know, to help people out, so to speak. Again, Adam still has legal bills and it's still going to be a long process for him to. There's still going to be some a long legal process for him to set his life straight, because, again, once you're. You know, they take your livelihood away. They take everything from you.
Absolutely.
And you've got to come back and start from scratch and figure all that stuff out. And all because,
you know, if you have a record, it just really limits your think about how much that limits what you're able to do.
Not just getting
a job, but anything that we take for granted, even some of these young men and women, if they go in as teenagers, some of them have gone in at 16, 17, 18. They don't even have a driver's license, an ID. I mean, even the very basics of what we have as a life, they have no idea how to go about it.
Yeah, I think it's a very important cause what you guys are doing. Guys, Wrestling for Innocence this Sunday, August 11th in Nashville, 1402 Clinton Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You can buy your tickets at marathonmusicworks.com. It's a great venue, guys. I've heard nothing great stuff about this. I have a lot of friends down in Nashville. They've seen a lot of events here. They've gone to weddings here. It's a beautiful venue. It's a nice open space. I think it's going to look great on video, which I'm very excited to see. And you guys should be very proud of what you're putting together here.
Thank you. And also, I just want to point out that we know SummerSlam is also Sunday. It's going to be an afternoon show, 3:30 doors with, you know, chance to meet Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and a 4:30 bell time. So we will be done so that you can watch SummerSlam if you're in that area. So, you know, it's important. It's SummerSlam. That supersedes all in the wrestling world.
yeah, very obviously. Guys, thank you for coming on. I'm going to, you know, this is going to go out with our podcast. I think this is a very important cause, which you guys are working on. Stephanie, I want to talk to you about a project I'm considering working on that I think you'd be great on.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely, because I'm very your passion for this. Your passion for this really comes off, and you're really doing this out of a great place. And it you know, for Capital Wrestling to be involved in this event, in this organization, you know, for Wrestling for Innocence, it says a lot about you guys as a team, as a company, on you know, where you're at, because it's not easy to pick up everything here from the Northeast and go down to Nashville and put together this major event.
It's absolutely it. Some things have been a challenge, but again, we just soldier on ahead, and I'm very, very lucky that a lot of people at Capital from our production staff to our talent, have also read about this and have been, and I'm getting them to be as passionate, and that's even better. It's just as awesome because, you know, there are a few people here and there I've met, you know, throughout the walks of life that don't really kind of see this as important and don't really kind of don't believe it even actually happens. And I'm super lucky that, you know, Harry and I work for a company that I talk to them about it and they're immediately on board. Like, yes, you're right. This is horrible. I agree. Like, let's do everything that we can.
Yeah. Excellent, guys. Thank you for joining me. Guys, that's it for this interview. You'll hear it along with the show this week. See you later.